In this series, I've not talked very much about the procedure before the Strasbourg court. But of course, procedures are very important because that's also what can make or break a case. Let's return back to MSS. MSS had asked the court to prohibit his transfer to Greece from Belgium before the case was proceeding, so at the very, very beginning of the procedure, and the court had refused to do that. Now, of course, if the court refuses to grant these provisional measures, these orders to the court not to proceed with an expulsion, you can imagine that migrants are going to be returned. Once they are returned, they will most often lose contact with their legal representative. Anyway, if something bad has happened to them, it will have happened to them. That will be irreparable in the sense that there will never be again a possibility of ensuring that the violation of the right does not happen in the first place. So, this is one aspect of the procedure which is terribly important. And what has happened is that whilst the number of requests were rising through the first decade of the millennium, at one stage, the European Court of Human Rights more or less decided to stop that. It thought it had too many such requests, and so it made it very, very difficult for lawyers to be successful. And the statistics are absolutely astounding, because now it's really only a few handfuls of migrants who managed to convince the court to order a stop to their expulsion. A second area which is important is the fact that the European Court, admittedly submerged by the thousands and thousands of applications that it receives, encourages and almost forces friendly settlements to take place, which can be okay for the individual applicant who receives for example, a residence permit, but which is not good for all the other potential applicants who cannot rely on a ruling by the court which would have found the conduct of a state in violation of the convention, because there is no such ruling. So there is no general lesson to be drawn either by that state or even by other member states of the Council of Europe. And finally, as we also touched upon earlier on, the European Court of Human Rights does not order reparations and does not tell the state exactly what it needs to do to redress the violation that it might have found. So, yet again, this is a way of doing things which is not propitious at giving rulings through which states then can really learn what they have to do to become respectful of the convention again. So, what I'm suggesting here is that within the maneuvers that it can manage to find for itself, it would be good if the European Court could also use procedural tools to maximize the protective reach of the convention.